Hello, Jordan.
What's up, Michael?
I don't scroll.
You're a non-scroller.
I literally do not scroll.
Man, it's been like 5 days, no scrolling. It's impressive.
4.5 at least. I don't know if it's impressive, but it's necessary.
What are the biggest changes you've noticed?
I feel amazing. I feel like a new person in 2024. A different person than I was in 2020. I know. See, this is what I was... I'm glad you're, you know what? I commend you. You're very open-minded. You can hear an argument and be like, you know what? Yeah, people can be inherently different from year to year.
Biologically different, inherently different. Everything is different year to year. Whatever you want.
We're always biologically different. If my cholesterol goes up 0.01%, I'm a different person biologically.
You're right.
Wait, you changed clothes. We just did the mentorship Q&A. I was going to J it because I had a comment about what you were previously wearing, but you changed clothes.
I just put a sweatshirt on. What was I wearing? What's underneath?
I thought it was a black crew neck sweatshirt.
It's just a sweater. It's a sweater.
Oh, now you're doubled up.
Yeah, I got my office is a little bit cold.
Jordan was wearing one of the coolest black shirts I've ever seen in our mentorship live Q&A.
I've had this sweater since I was in like fifth grade.
I thought it looked so cool in that Q&A, and you bring such variety to your wardrobe. You're a man of many mysteries.
This is a hand-me-down sweater that I got while I was in grade school that I found in the bottom of my like drawer. And it's a great one. It's super comfortable.
It's, what do they call that? Retro, like throwback? There's a word for it, but you are the embodiment of it. It just looked cool and you look pretty jacked in it.
Your haircut looks really good. You got a slick haircut going on right now. You are the embodiment of a fucking slick haircut.
Thanks. That's how you take a compliment.
I'll never forget.
You say, thanks.
When I'm at the gym, I was in Atlanta. This must have been like a year ago or maybe 6 months ago. And you're like sending me these memes. Memes of these kids with broccoli heads. And I was like, what is this? You know, like, this is the new haircut that all these young kids have. And I look around at the gym and it's all these young kids with this like shaved side, but then like weird messy broccoli hair on top.
Well, I learned about it. The barber I saw yesterday told me all about it. A lot of these kids get perms. Like if they have naturally straight hair, they get a perm to make
Stop
it curly
it.
On top. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said he's doing a lot
crazy.
Of perms. Yeah. But the meme is hilarious. We've definitely talked about it here before. But because, and I don't even know if it definitely applied in early 2022. I don't know if it still applies. I can't keep up with the trends, but I think there were dogs in the meme. It was a cartoon, but they had the broccoli hair. They had the one earring. They were all sumo deadlifting with a rounded lumbar, but like the dogs, you know, cause it looked like a dog taking a poop, but they were actually deadlifting. Yeah. It's a classic meme, but good job diverting attention from your unbelievable, impeccable style.
Dude, of course. I'm just glad that you're not scrolling.
Me too.
I see a big change in your mood and your energy. It's great.
I'm a different person. Scrolling versus not scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then you got to find ways to fill it. Read books, lift, do cardio, email clients, design programs, do mentorship live streams. Did I mention cardio? Maybe a little
Are
flexibility
you reading any
training. I'm reading multiple books. I actually started a book that, remember Zuby?
Yeah. Zuby Music. Yeah.
Zuby recommended a book. Called Dominion. He basically was making an argument that, and I'm 20 minutes into the book, so we don't have to discuss the contents of the argument, but he was making an argument that that the West sits on Judeo-Christian values without knowing it. And, you know, a similar argument that JP has made before, but that that Nietzsche made, you know, whatever, 70, 80, I don't even remember. Many, many years ago, 100 plus years ago. If we do away with God, that we do away with what we have in Western society, and even people who claim to be atheists benefit from Judeo-Christian values, which are ever present in our society. And Elon replied to it and was like, I think this is accurate, or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And within there, this is maybe a week ago, within there, I saw this book recommendation, Dominion, How the Christian Revolution Remade the World. And it, a lot of people were into it. So
cool.
I was audiobooking that. Yep.
Is it good so far?
Yeah, it's I literally have just read the introduction.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Nice.
And you asked me about Christmas presents on a previous podcast. I got the 5-part Game of Thrones book series, which
I've
seen the show, but I've never read the book. So a little fiction before bed instead of mindless scrolling. That's where I'm at.
That'll be interesting because when I've watched that on Amazon, I'll sometimes tap the screen and it will say, this is different from the book. In the book, actually, this happened. So you'll probably get a lot of conflicting info, and I'll be interested to hear your thoughts because usually, I think basically always, the books are better than the movies or TV series. So I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. And that's why I'm curious, because I haven't done a show to book in that order. And so, yeah, I'm into it. That's what's been going on. What's up with you?
I switched back to an iPhone, which you've been really excited about.
The blue text is back. We can FaceTime. I can FaceTime and see your cute daughter, like all the benefits.
I was excited to text you Happy New Year. So as soon as you got that like blue text but there's so much that you do when you switch over to a new phone in general, but especially going from Android to iOS, like you have to, there's so much stuff that you have to do, and like you're transferring everything over. And I was going through my Audible, and there are so many books that I had downloaded that I hadn't read that I was like really excited about. And so I am woefully uneducated on climate change. I'm just like so uneducated on it. And I've downloaded a bunch of books, and like I get some books from like one side and they get some books from the other side. And because I'm just trying to educate myself, and I can't make it 7 minutes into any of these books. It is just so outrageously boring to me, which I understand sounds ridiculous because the potential impacts are huge. And, it, you know, I'm not interested in these books, dude. I'm so bored reading these books. I'm like, it's awful. I'm like nauseous even. And it sucks because I really do want to be more educated on it, but not enough to actually learn. I'm just so not interested.
There's an expectation that everyone is educated on every topic. And like, I don't know anything about climate change. You could, I assume, spend a decade studying only climate change and not fully understand it. The expectation that we have strong opinions and educated opinions on every single subject with finite time is insane. And so yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact that you don't want to read boring books about climate change.
Yeah, you bring up a good point too, because I was listening to Douglas Murray. I don't know if you know him. I've listened to a bunch of his stuff recently.
Douglas Murray is the man.
Dude, I love that guy. British? Yeah, British guy. He's got that like deep voice, but it's the British accent. And it's just, man, I love this guy. It's just, he's super well-spoken, really intriguing, very knowledgeable. And he was
very truthful. Very, yes. Like, high integrity.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I was watching him on Chris Williamson. I was watching him there, and I started following him on Instagram, and just I'm overwhelmingly impressed with what this guy has to say and how he says it. And he brought up a great point, just being like, nowadays, anytime there's a catastrophe, anytime there's an issue, everyone feels pressured like they should be speaking up about it. But the issue is, a lot of these people who feel like they're pressured to speak up, they don't know what the fuck they're speaking up about. So now they're just saying whatever it is they're being told to say without actually any real knowledge. It should be okay to not speak up about something, especially when you don't know anything about it. It's okay to not have an opinion on something, especially when you don't know anything about that. So I'm thinking I might just give up on learning about climate change. I might just call it. I'm done, dude. I'm just, it's so not interesting to me. Is it? And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm just not interested at all.
Well,
so.
Well, what's also difficult is you have brilliant scientists who have spent thousands, if not tens of thousands of hours on this subject, who reach different conclusions. So what are you going to do in 80 hours? And which would be a lot, right? Like, are you going to figure it out?
Hours. When,
yeah.
And then it's just going to be a lot of fear mongering. It's going to be a lot of like, I'll be worried.
Depending on who you read, but yes.
Well, it's just like, what can I do though? You know, like,
oh, I cool. see. So
it's like, great. So this is another thing for me to worry about. Like, this is just one other thing that I now have to be fucking petrified about. Like, everything is going to collapse. And I don't know. Al Gore said in like 20, whatever, that the ice caps were going to be gone, but they're still here. I don't know, man. I have no idea.
Was that the intro to one of your books?
Yeah. 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 It's like, yeah. But I remember The Inconvenient Truth. And then I was like, oh yeah, he did say that. And like, still here. I don't know.
Yeah, now I want to say something, but I also don't know anything. So in line with this conversation, the How to Become a Personal Trainer podcast, where two idiots talk about climate change. It has been used politically for many, many decades.
Yeah. But
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway. That's what's going on with me. I got an iPhone and I'm struggling to learn about climate change.
It sounds like you just gave up on climate change.
I retire from my climate change career.
There is something to be said to broaden the conversation about not like maybe this is Stoic philosophy, but about keeping our attention and our efforts on things that are within our control. And yeah, learning about something that you're not going to necessarily move the needle on, that is going to add potentially fear to your life, versus learning about something where it's going to help you help more people. It's going to do something more beneficial. There's also something about pursuing interests where like curiosity can be a compass for where we should be allocating our attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you said you're not interested, you tried a couple of books, you're not interested, cool. But move on to something else. You were very interested in Middle East geopolitics. Yeah. And the splits. And like, there are things that draw us to them. Maybe even metaphysically, one could argue. And following that curiosity versus, reading something boring could be something to that.
Is there anything you struggle to learn about or read about? Is there any like topic that you want to study, but it's just every time you try and study, you're like, ugh, this is really difficult.
Is there any topic I want to study, but when I try to, it's really difficult? Probably. Not coming to mind right now, but I think it's more topics that I might have an interest in that are a waste of time.
Like what?
Like back when I used to watch chess YouTube shorts six days ago.
Just super interested in chess shorts.
Fascinated in this like knight trapping checkmate that like... Yeah, they're a smother. It's called a smother. I wonder if we have any chess listeners. Email us at info@fitnessbusinessmentorship.com. Any chess playing listeners. There are probably topics that I want to learn about that I have struggled to. Nothing's coming to mind for me right now, but.
Okay. So you probably haven't struggled with it. If you are interested and you just do it.
Or I just immediately discarded it. Here's the thing. If I was interested in something, then I would want to study it. Like, were you actually interested in climate change, or did you like have a debate with someone and then you wanted to win the debate? So you wanted to.
I've literally never debated anyone on climate change. I've never, I would never enter that debate because I know nothing about it. I don't even know the terms to use to sound like I know about it. I know nothing. So I was not debating. All I know is one side says this, the other side says this, and I just want to know the truth. But then I start trying to listen to it, and it's just the most dry, boring information that is so draining to my soul that I'm like, because I like listening to this stuff while I'm working out. And so the books that I've been listening to have been great while I work out. It's been interesting. It's fun. Like, they're a good addition to my workouts. That, you know, when you're, if you're like on the treadmill and you're not listening to anything, you're not watching TV, you're not watching a show, you're not listening to anything, you're not talking to anyone, you're just on this treadmill and all you can focus on is how much longer you have on the treadmill, and you just keep watching the clock and you're like, oh man, like, all right, now I'm like 30 seconds down. Now, and you like don't look at the clock and you're like, oh geez, it's only been 10 seconds. What the hell? Like, I thought that was like a whole minute. When I listen to stuff on climate change, every second feels like an hour. I'm just like, this is making my cardio feel longer. Like, this is terrible. And it makes my sets more painful. Like, it makes, like, when I'm doing a Bulgarian split squat, I'm like, oh, like, this hurts even more than usual. Like, it's just the worst. I'm just so not interested in it. It's actually a painful experience.
I'll tell you one thing that I know, and I know it in my gut. I don't know it in my brain. I know it in my gut.
Okay.
Is that when somebody who is taking 400 to 700 flights per year on private jets,
yes,
emitting carbon and CO2 and do all of that, says that I need to eat bugs instead of meat because yeah, cow farts are, yeah, ruining the planet. I'm, yeah, like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not eating, correct, bugs while you fly around on your private jet. Like, that's not how this is going to go.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a gut and brain thing. I completely agree with that. All these people who are like super, super, super like guilting everyone else for all the decisions they're making and like really like they're like this, we need to protect the planet. But then meanwhile, their private jet is taking them on 700 round trips every year. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? How are, yeah, you the spokesperson? And yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I respect the people that truly believe in it. And then they like actually they take public transportation or they ride their bike and they don't take any, like the people who legitimately like stand by their cause. I respect that. I don't respect the person who's just preaching about it, but then doing the worst shit, allegedly. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. Should we rip open some questions? 2024?
Let's rip it.
Want to dot? You got a Q&A going? You got anything brewing?
I do have a Q&A going. You want me to pull it up?
Yeah. Could be fun.
Oh, someone, one of the questions someone asked, B Bougie said, that's a funny name, B Bougie. Someone said, what are ways to keep your mind entertained while on the treadmill? Not listening to climate change audiobooks, that's for sure. What do you do when you're getting cardio done, Mike? How do you keep yourself entertained, whether it's treadmill, elliptical, outside? What do you do?
I'll listen to podcasts is one. Zone one, I can do anything. I can talk on the phone. I can audiobook. I can podcast. Maybe like a long form YouTube video that's podcast-ish that I won't be watching, but I'll just listen to. That's my zone one, even zone one and a half. For zone two, I can do that sometimes, but what I prefer for zone two is motivational YouTube videos with unbelievable thematic music tracks over them. Mm. And whether that's like a, you know, there's a good Braveheart, and these are like, I don't know, 5 to 15 minute videos. Some of them are longer, but most of them, there's like Jon Snow this and William Wallace one, even like speeches from athletes like a Ray Lewis, or like the original one that I remember that I used to really like in 2012, 2013 was by E.T., the hip hop preacher, Eric Thomas, where he's talking about it, you need to stay up 3 days in a row. Like, you need to want it so bad. He tells a story about some guy who gets dunked in the water, and you need to want it so bad that More Than You Breathe. I don't remember. It's been a while since I listened to it. But that type of stuff, if I want to bring some level of intensity, or just great music as well. And even like an Inception playlist, like some Hans Zimmer, an Interstellar playlist, that kind of music that is, I don't know, helps you level up. Not like in a DMX, Eminem kind of angry kind of way, but a different kind of pump up.
Got it. Nice.
How about you? I know you're you don't listen to climate change audiobooks. You like movies and shows are effective for you.
Yeah, movies, shows are a really good audiobook. So I've been really into spy, like real life spy stories, like whether it was the Mossad or the CIA or different spy agencies around the world, like not fake stuff, but like real actual accounts of these agencies and what they've done. That's been great. I just started a new thing today on Netflix. I just found, it's a documentary series about the Roman Empire, which is really cool. It's like, so far I'm only one episode in, but it's been super well done. And so, yeah, I like action based, but more action based thrilling tales that have historical value and truth to it. That's been huge for me recently. And then Game of Thrones type of thing is great because it is also very action based. Obviously there's no accurate historical theme there, but it's I do like that genre as well. So
well, there's it's not historical truth, it's a different kind of truth. It's like truth about human nature. The best fiction tells us who we are and who we can be. And there's stories that have been, the themes of the stories have been repeated over and over for thousands of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Nissi834 said, do you have any tips for focus, major issues, which leads to procrastination and stress?
Not really. Historically, if I really need to get a significant chunk of work done that I don't want to do, the Pomodoro technique has been effective, not 100% of the time, but setting a stopwatch for 25 minutes, setting it, and then just start working.
You used to force me to do that.
After the 25 minutes, then you get a 5-minute break. And you can do 25 and 5, you can do 45 and 10. And this is actually like a clinically backed, like they've run research on this and it is effective for boosting focus and productivity. During the rest time, don't just be on your phone stimulating yourself. I've actually found that doing a 5-minute meditation or just laying on the floor and like not a nap, but closing my eyes and resting for the 5 minutes before going back into the work is most effective if I want to do 4 or 5 cycles of the of those blocks of work.
You're a big lay on the floor guy.
I love to lay on the floor. Yeah.
And then put a weighted sandbag on your chest.
And any variation of laying on the floor. My body likes to be in extension. It doesn't like to, like my hips don't like my knees coming up close to me. My body likes to extend. And so laying on the floor and sprawling out and stretching is very underrated. High quality sleep, getting enough sleep, both boost productivity and focus. Hydration. I find that I can focus better when I'm hydrated. Having a, knowing what time of day is like your golden hour, your most productive time. Evenings for some, you know, most people it's not afternoons, mornings for a lot of people. And then protecting that time. For me, it's generally mornings. And so wake up, have caffeine and have that block of time where I know I'm going to get my most difficult work done. Because if I don't do it in that window, it's very unlikely to get done for the rest of the day. And then I'm going to have to wait to the next day. So knowing about yourself, what time of day that is, and then protecting that time is, might be beneficial. What do you got, Jordan?
I think you're going to like what I'm about to say.
Cool.
I think the greatest enemy of productivity is comfort.
Say more.
I knew you'd like that. And I say this, by the way, from a currently very comfortable position. the most productive I've ever been in my life is when I was the least comfortable with the situation that I was in, with my present life situation, whether it was financial or whatever it was. When you're comfortable, that's a luxury. It's a luxury to feel comfortable, especially relative to the entire world. And when you're comfortable, it's very difficult to say, like, all right, I am now going to do something that I really don't want to do because I'm comfortable here. Whereas when you're chronically uncomfortable, it's easier to motivate yourself to be productive because that productivity can lead to a place of comfort. So it's like you're almost doing it to get out of that uncomfortable situation. But when you're comfortable, why bother getting out of it? Because you're already comfortable. And so this is one of the reasons why I think, and we've spoken about this before, and there's even recent research on it, one of the reasons why like anger can lead to productivity. And I also think that fear can lead to productivity. Anger and fear are not things that you're feeling when you're comfortable. Anger and fear are often things that you want to elicit a change, right? If you're angry at something or someone, or if you're fearful of something or someone, then you're clearly uncomfortable and you'll take action in order to avoid that situation. Whereas when you're comfortable, why bother? And so I think some of the most successful people in the world have found ways either synthetically or like psychologically, they figure out a way. Either they figure out a way or they just are that way, in which they're hardwired to never be comfortable or to be able to switch on and switch off the comfort as needed. And so I don't know if this is giving any practical advice, but I know for me, I'm one of those people who I almost have to put myself in an uncomfortable situation in order to be really productive, in order to achieve the productivity that I really want. And I think it's harder for me now than it was 10 years ago, because I'm significantly more comfortable now than I was 10 years ago. But you better believe there was a big shift or a major event happened that really screwed me up and I was uncomfortable, then you better fucking believe I'd be way more productive than I am right now.
But it wouldn't be a strategy or a tactic.
It would just be real.
You would inherently and naturally be more productive and correct. Be more able to focus.
Correct. So I think if you're really comfortable, I think Michael Jordan was one of the prime examples of this, right? Where he would manufacture anger. He would manufacture things in order to create anger for him to perform at a higher level, mm-hmm. or for him to perform when he was really sick, for him to do things that regular people just wouldn't do. And I think there's something to be said for it, that maybe figure out a way to make yourself uncomfortable, whether it's creating a competition with yourself or with other people, whether it's making up something in your head that didn't actually happen. Gary talks about this all the time. He thinks about like what would happen if like his entire family died and if my daughter died and I lost my whole business, like that's just what he thinks about, which is like very morbid to think about, but that's one of the things that he does. And I think that maybe experiment with this like weird role play in your head of this fucking situation that could be awful to see if it puts you in a mindset of like, okay, well now I'm going to be productive. It's like, when you think about that stuff, all of a sudden the scrolling on Instagram becomes far less important. It's like, all right, I just thought about my spouse dying. I need to get to work, whatever it is. You know, it might be enough to change your perspective and give you a new mindset to be a little bit more productive.
I like it. Discomfort, baby. Great examples too. There's something more meta here that might not be applicable, but ask yourself if you actually want or need what it is that you're attempting to pursue. Because if you truly want or need that thing, it should be easier to focus on it. It should be more inherent. If something, like Jordan's example, something dire happened, like you would just naturally snap into the ability to be productive and focus. are you chasing something that you think you want or that you think you should value by society standards or that maybe you don't necessarily want or need?
My lack of productivity with learning about climate change is the prime example. Like, I've been led to believe that I need to know about this, but I really don't. I really don't want to. It's just not interesting enough for me. So I'm not productive with it, right? But mm-hmm. I really mm-hmm. want these splits. So I'm reading about flexibility and mobility nonstop and like trying different methods out and spending a lot of time on it. I really legit want that. So that's something to think about. I think that goes hand in hand with what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that doom scrolling is definitely frying your dopamine receptors and making it harder to focus. So reduce the constant stimulation coming in and you'll find output easier.
Agreed.
I'll let you know if that's true. We're only on day 4.5, but I'll let you know if that continues to be true in the coming days, weeks, and months, and years, and decades, centuries, millennium.
Wow. Someone said her name is Strong Girls Inc. Please open up a mentorship program. Lucky for her, we've got a mentorship program. You want to join the online fitness business mentorship? Link is in the description. We're doing weekly live Q&As in there. We've got a lot going on. We just got off one right before this podcast.
Yeah.
Got a big year of 2024 planned ahead. We're excited about it.
That was a great first. Today's January 4th. That was a great first Q&A of the year.
Yeah.
Strong Girl really just gave us a softball right there down the middle. Strong Girl Inc. really just, she's like, here, you want to market a little? And she just gave us a meatball. Thank you, Strong Girl Inc.
Has there been anything you've been doing that's helped with your posture, mobility, pain, back stuff, anything that you've been doing to help with that?
Let's save this question to answer technically and properly.
Cool.
Either maybe in a few minutes, but maybe next week or the week after. But I'll give you a wild answer. You're just not listening at all. Jordan just isn't listening. Let's run all this because
it just went into my like cerebellum.
And I don't know it was like it went, super, but it went somewhere.
It went delayed. Like as soon as you said, let's wait to answer this one, my brain immediately goes, all right, keep searching for a new question. So then I stopped listening and then it delayed, went into my ear hole. And then I heard you say, or I could give a wild answer now though. So let's do that one first. Let's do that now. Let's go down that route.
All right, I'm going to give you something out of complete left field, completely unsubstantiated. 88% science, 12% let it rip. I'm going to 12% let it rip. I, for no reason whatsoever, believe that the decisions that we make on like the moral plane, character, integrity, right versus wrong, listening to your conscience versus avoiding it or going against it, lead to changes in our body that help us feel better or worse or specifically produce different postures.
Wow. I was not expecting that answer at all.
Yep. I'm going full pseudoscience, bro science, complete make-believe on this one. I can't prove this, but.
And has that improved posture or back pain for you?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think it has.
Just a little factoid for you.
Well, there's some, not a the opposite. In a weird opinion. It's not even my opinion. It's almost just a thought that I'm entertaining in this brief moment in time. Look, there's something to when you see someone walking with upright posture, there's something objectively better about it. Like they have their life together. Like they know what they're doing. Like they there are many non-physical things about good posture. I'm trying to tie some things together that I haven't thought through before. Here's one. I think that I could identify. Here's one. You give me someone who's been like really trying to live right for a week versus a dude who's been trying to live right for a week versus a dude who has been exclusively like in the dark, looking at a screen, jerking off, eating donuts for a full week, and you make them both walk down the sidewalk side by side. I think I could identify the difference between the two. I understand that this is partly funny for you, but I think that moral strength and weaknesses shows up in the body, not strength and weaknesses, good and bad decisions.
Dude, I completely agree. I had no idea that asking.
Do you agree?
I mean, I was thinking of questions that I think are funny. I think other people would get mad about it, but I was thinking of questions like something that would just make you really uncomfortable. Like, I'm just going to say it, whatever. I was going to be like, I think Hitler had really good posture.
I don't. Not at all. That guy was, Hitler was unbelievably rigid. He had very rigid posture. Many videos of Hitler show his posture like tweaking out because he was taking illicit drugs. So much meth and so many drugs. Yeah. He was like spazzing out and having tremors. I think Hitler's the perfect example, if you wanted to lead us down there, of this fact. This opinion.
This is a fact. then I was like literally having images in my head of you running this experiment. All right, get one person who's been great all week, someone else, dude, been watching porn in his basement. I can point him out. I know.
I do.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, I think you're right that like the way, yeah, I agree for sure. That's not where I was going with it, but.
Well, no, of course not. And it's not the answer that the people want. But the reason that I agreed to this podcast 5 years ago is so that we can just dick around and have fun and talk like we would, even if we were off air. And I don't always bring that level here, but today I am. And I think I told you before, I like to lay on the floor. That's physical. I stopped when I'm reading books. I'm not sitting in bed reading with shortened hips. I'll roll and lay on my stomach so that I can like flex my glutes every so often and press my hips forward. It feels better on my low back. Soft tissue work, doing mobility before my workouts, doing mobility on rest days, doing mobility within my workouts, supersetting strength with mobility. Dead hangs are something where I've been getting lumbar decompression that's been like really beneficial. Lacrosse ball against the wall on my spinal erectors has been great. On my like upper traps has felt good in a doorway, like kind of leaning through the doorway, lacrosse ball, upper trap. It's mostly physical, right? We've talked about these things so many times that sometimes we just got to let it rip and have fun.
Dude, and I love it.
Yeah. And I truly think that there is something about, well, no, then you, I know people who are really good people who then have like, I don't know if disease is the right word, but who really struggle with pain for a variety of reasons. So like this isn't a blanket statement, obviously, but there's something to this. There's something to this word is popping in my head. Physiognomy, which is essentially that your character shows through in your, in how you look, and that you look different when you act different. Like your face can almost look different when you act differently.
Physiognomy.
It's got a G in there, right?
Yeah, but the G is silent apparently.
Okay, cool.
Physiognomy, a person's facial features or expression, especially when regarded as indicative of character or ethnic origin.
Oh, ethnic origin. All right. I didn't try to take us down that one. That's not what I intended. character was the one I was.
Oh, I, like as I was reading, I was like, yeah, makes sense. Ooh, maybe not. Yeah, dude, I love that. I think that makes total sense. And you can see it. You could absolutely see it when people are doing the right things versus when they're not.
There's something to this.
Dude, I agree.
Last question.
Well, no, I was going to say my thoughts on this outside of your thoughts.
No. We'll address it properly one day.
I just want to say I've been doing a lot of side bending and it's just been amazing. Like a lot of like loaded side bending and also like just a lot of spinal movement. And I think the traditional strength training concept of neutral spine has been so hammered in to the strength and conditioning world throughout the years that we've actually created spines that are too rigid and don't move the way that they're supposed to move. And the more that I move my spine and bend my spine and twist and rotate, and we do a lot of flexion, but I've been doing more back bends and I've been doing more loaded side bends and I've been doing more rotations. And even like I've been doing, like you said, the dead hang, but I've been doing it with my feet on the ground at an arc. So like I'm trying to explain it for the people who are not.
Lumbar extension?
And serious lumbar extension.
Yep.
And so like I'm in like an L where I'm hanging and then my feet are behind me and I'm like, my hips are thrust forward and my head is popping through my shoulders and I'm just in a serious lumbar extension, thoracic extension, hip extension.
How do you set that up?
So I do it on the dual cable machine. I set it up so that I have like the straight bar connecting the dual cables and I just adjust the height so that I can be in there.
Another way that I have done that is a Smith machine is a good way because you can set the height of the bar a bit lower if anyone wants to give that a try. That's a great one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I use wrist straps. I use wrist straps so I don't have to rely on my grip strength because I want to hang there for like 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And so that way I can hold on without having to worry about my grip strength.
Did you start at that amount of time or did you work your way up to it?
I started with 1 minute and then I went 132, so on and so forth.
Yeah. Don't, if you're unbelievably rigid, don't do that for 5 minutes out of the gate in deep extension.
Yeah. That would be a bad idea. But especially these like loaded side bends, either loaded down by my side with like one dumbbell next to my side, or I've been taking the Indian clubs that you have, and I just hold them over my head, like full shoulder flexion up to my head. And I let that weight bring me down to the side from up top. And so like the lever arm is really, really long. And I'll go all the way down to the side and then hold it for 3 seconds at the deepest end range, do a little like contract, relax for the stretch, then come back up to the top, come back down a little bit deeper again, hold it. Oh my God, dude. Like the improvements in how my back feels is just incredible.
I've been doing something similar where I go half kneeling by a cable with a single handle on a high pulley and I'll so like the, let's say I'm facing the wall and the pulley's directly on my left.
Yep.
I'll grab it with my right hand and then I'll drop my right knee to the ground and I'll be out probably like a solid 5 feet at least away from the base of the machine and get a nice side bend, nice QL stretch, stretch through the lat too. And then you can, you know, setting it at 7 to 12 or even like 17.5 pounds will feel reasonable to start, but then you can start loading it up and get having that pull you even more feels really good.
Dude, that's a great one. I love that. You get, like you said, QL, lat, tricep, just, I love that. That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Feeling good, just training to feel good, move well, just it's the play.
So what do you really think about that thesis?
About your thesis?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I agree with your thesis. I think a lot of it has to do with, I think what I would be interested to see is people's posture when they think no one is watching, right? So I think a lot of people can project a certain posture when people are watching that can make someone who isn't doing the right things, make it appear as though they are doing the right things. Their confidence or their bravado might make it appear as though like, oh, look, like I'm strong, I'm confident, whatever. But when no one's watching, that to me is the more interesting, like, okay, you're alone. You don't think anyone's looking at you. How do you carry yourself then? That to me says a lot about who the person really is and how they really think and how they really act.
That's interesting. ISTJ wasn't even on my radar. The ESTP, who's aware of surroundings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just
are, that's a good angle.
You just are who you are always. Like you're not putting on a show, but
well, other people. I don't want to like claim that kind of.
I'll claim it for
high,
you.
High ground. But it's, I'm definitely less aware of thinking of what others will think of my insert facial expression, posture, like things like that. It's not on my radar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's not on a lot of people's radars too.
All the ISTJs.
Well, I think all of the, a lot of the 16, like whatever.
What other groups are not worried about it?
You know, it's funny. I couldn't tell you who all's not worried. I mean, definitely INTPs.
They're not worried about it?
They're not thinking about it. They're just trying to like, you know, figure out how to like build a bridge that'll hold for 1,000 years. Like, I don't think ISTPs are thinking about it very much. So the INs, the ENs, I think are probably thinking about it. Like INTJ. I don't know. That's okay. Real pseudos. Yeah, I don't know. You bring a good additional variable to the conversation, which is rather than have them like know that they're being seen, just how do they act by themselves in their own space when they think no one's watching?
I was worried. I didn't know if you were going to like that addition to the letter rip section. So I'm glad that that was good.
I love it. No, even if I didn't like it, I like it because it was let it rip.
Yeah.
We need a lot of that, Jordan. We need a lot of testosterone on this podcast. Natural testosterone produced from living right on this podcast.
Dude, agreed. Agreed.
Great episode.
I thought that was a good one.
I loved it.
You know, it's going to be crazy. Like one day I could picture us re-listening to these episodes in like 2072. And we're going to hear like, oh man, 2024. We thought we knew it all back then. And then we're going to listen to this podcast in 2072 and be like, we were just young chicklins. We were young ducks over there. Had ducks no idea chicklins. What we were doing.
Ducks and chicklins. Just trying to get by.
Well, thanks for listening. I'm going to eat this little jar of nuts that I was not allowed to eat during the episode.
Enjoy.
Thanks for listening. We hope you have an amazing week, an amazing start to 2024. And we'll be making episodes all the way until 2072. So have a good week.
See you next week. Goodbye.